this morning.
Let me get opened up here. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 7, Jesus says, He said unto them, talking to the disciples, He just risen from the dead, right? He spent 40 days teaching the disciples. He says, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons. Let me look at something here to make sure I got my words right. The word times in this passage is the word chronos in the Greek, which means a specific period of time. It's a time like reading the clock. Like today is July 23rd, 2017. That's our chronos time. It just means a point on the clock. So here Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times that God's going to do something. And He also says, and the seasons, that word seasons there is kairos. Now, Pastor Sherry, did anybody hear Pastor Sherry last week? A few people. She taught about kairos times. And a kairos time is a specific point in time that something's going to take place that God has planned. And so, for example, there was a kairos time for Jesus to be born. You follow me? There was a kairos time for Him to die and rise from the dead. And if you study out that word, you'll find that there's been several periods of time through history. Even Moses is referred to as a kairos time for Israel to be set free. It was a set time by God. And this is, you're not going to know the times and the seasons in advance of what God's going to do. But here's what I want to say. But you will know when you're in them. See, there's a kairos time that's going to take place for the rapture. I believe that time is already set by God when that trumpet's going to sound and we're going to be caught up to join Him in the air. How many want to go on the first trip? Amen. First load. And that's a set time. And we don't know that time, right? However, once it happens, we'll know it's happened. Do you follow me? I mean, once we've been raptured, we'll know, hey, we were raptured. With that kairos time hit, and now we've come through that time. What I want to say is, you may not know when God's going to do something, but if you're following the Holy Ghost, if you're led of the Spirit, if you're in the flow, you'll know when it's happening. Do you follow me on that? And God's got a kairos time coming up where He's going to pour out His glory. He's going to bring in the harvest. He's going to invert the wealth of the wicked to the hands of the righteous. There's a kairos time coming of total outpoured revival to the earth. I believe it. God showed me that water tower opening up and it's spilling out the glory of God. I believe we've come to the beginning of that time. In fact, I had a word come to me Thursday night as Bobby Jean was ministering, actually right before she got up during praise and worship. And the Lord said, a lot of people believe that they've arrived. In other words, I'm there. I'm done. I'm finished. Other people think they're finished. They've gone as far as they can. You know, this is it. This is all you're going to see, all you're going to know. And the Spirit of God says, no, you have now arrived at the beginning. I believe we are at the beginning of a kairos time of the outpouring of God. That prophetic that we were feeling this morning was an indication of it. I've known Apostle Callahan for 30 years. I've watched him teach for 30 years. To me, there's not a finer teacher on the earth of the Word of God than Pastor Callahan. But Friday night, he was under a different anointing. He's told us lately he's been under a different anointing. I've known him. I know his teaching. He was under a different anointing. And you may not have perceived the difference, but I did. There was an authority behind what he said. There was a prophetic even edge that I'm used to with him, but was coming out with the teaching, with the authority, all of it together. And we stepped into another time. And as we went through the messages, at least the ones I sat in, 5 nighttime messages, 8 morning messages. Each one was not some nice little word that we're speaking forth because this is a good sermon. Each one was a prophetic message to us for where we're at right now in this, what I'm going to call a Kairos time of the beginning of the outpouring of God. Everybody talked. There was a prophetic edge on every single message. In fact, Pastor Sherry talked about Kairos times, as I said. And she was talking about the time frame we're now in. I believe we've come to that place. 25 years of Grace Ministries, 2017. I believe we've come to the place that things are about to break free. Amen? And life as we know it will never be the same. Church as we know it won't be the same. But if we want to advance into what God has, as Pastor Callan taught, how many were not in Friday night's service? How many were not in it? Okay. He taught about how if you want to go ahead with God, you've got to change. God's not changing to meet us where we're at. He already did it through the cross. We've got to change to where God's at. And he talked about how at the beginning of the year, he was telling God, God, I want to go on with you. I want to go deeper. I want to go into the glory, into the revival. And he knew inside he had to do something about his weight. And so he wanted a radical dietary shift. I mean, I was watching him do it, and they were eating nothing but coconut wraps and salad and salad with no dressing. I mean, everything just... And they could eat, I think for a while, couldn't even eat meat. He's lost 70 pounds this year. His wife, Debbie, has lost 45 pounds. In fact, I don't know if you guys saw it or not, they have featured her in one of these magazines, national magazines. They've got a whole cover page, a whole page of her story with before and after picture of the weight she's lost just in the last 6 or 7 months. And what he was talking about is if I want to go ahead in God, I needed to make changes in what I'm doing to be there. And for me, it was weight. For you, it may be advancing in your prayer life. For you, it may be more word time, maybe getting free of some of the things that have held you in bondage of the past. But if we want to go into the glory, God's calling each of us to make change. You know, to me, one of the most stupid sayings I've ever heard. Stupid. If God wanted us to fly, He'd have given us wings. Has anybody heard that one before? Well, He gave us engineers who can invent airplanes and build them, right? And I love that we can fly now. Hey, if God wanted us to see television, He just gave the images beam straight into our head, you know. God expects us to advance into what He's declared prophetically we can move to. Do you follow me? And just like, you know, if God wants to fly to give us wings, you cannot say that God wants me into revival, He'll just pull me into it. The way God's pulling us in revival is through prayer. He's telling us the change we need to make. Now, here's the good news. You've already made one of the most dramatic changes you need to make. You're here. One of the most important decisions you can make to move into revival is where you go to church. You just can't go to church anywhere and go into revival. How do you go to revival when you're hearing from a pulpit people saying, you're okay as you are, don't worry about anything, God, just know that God loves you? Or you're hearing things like, you know, just do your best and know that, you know, you're saved. No, you have heard God to the point that He's been able to direct you to the church where revival is being released. Do you follow me? See, I believe as I ministered here for the past several weeks, ministered at the Word Rally, God has doors, windows we need opened in our life to receive of His blessing. Do you believe that? There are windows of heaven we need open to move into His blessing. But guess what? I believe the church you go to is also a window. Not just that you go to church, but the church you go to determines what can flow into your life. And I believe certain churches, ministries, I believe certain churches are churches God has declared they've moved forward to the place I can pour my glory out through that church, through that body. And you're at the right place at the right Kairos time for the right reason. And what I want to get across to you this morning is your position for the glory if you just don't stop. Don't quit. Don't settle for okay. Don't settle for where you're at. Say, God, I want it all. I refuse to get caught up in life so much that the revival passes me by. Or I'm just willing to see some things take place. I want to be used in it. I will not be satisfied seeing other people in revival, and I missed it. So I'm like you are, potentially. I've said, God, whatever I've got to change, whatever I've got to do to be in the glory, call me to it. Do you follow me? Change me. Convict me. Draw me. In fact, God, if you have to drag me, get me where I need to be in the glory, to be in revival. Because I would hate to think I've spent all this effort, all of my life, advancing toward God, and I've stuck in my heels and said, I won't change anymore. This is as far as I'm going. And I stopped at this point. But I haven't stopped. I'm not going to stop. God's releasing revelation like never before, and I want to be a fountain of revelation in the end times. Do you follow me? I want to be a birthplace that God can birth new teachings through to change the body of Christ. And I want to carry the power of God to see every form of miracle, including raising the dead, happen all time. And I want to pastor a church of nobody sick, nobody in pain, nobody in lack, and nobody dying. And all of your relationships restored supernaturally by the power of God. Go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, this is Peter speaking. He tells the people, repent ye therefore, and be converted. In other words, to be changed. That your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I know when I get in the presence of the Lord, I'm refreshed. Sinners are scared in the presence of God. Sinners are troubled by the presence of God. I'm refreshed. And I know you are as well. Right? And it says there are coming times of refreshing from His presence. I believe any time there's an outpouring of God, there's a refreshing. Do you follow me? We feel better. But there's also refreshing in the earth. Now, let me back up just for a second before I get to this. Where he says the times are refreshing, that word times there is kairos. In other words, there are specific times God has declared, He's ordained, revival is going to take place. And it's going to refresh everything. See, when I think of times of refreshing, my primary thought is, I'm going to feel re-energized, reinvigorated, refreshed. But I believe there's more to it than that. I believe there's a refreshing of vision for the church, expectation for the body of Christ. There's a refreshing of outpouring that takes place. You know, we have a swimming pool at home. I've yet to be in it this year, but we have one. And every once in a while, through some leakage and through evaporation, through Patty splashing it all over the place, kids over, the pool level will drop. And if we haven't had enough rain, I'll have to take the hose, put it in the pool, turn the faucet on to refresh the pool level to maximum level. Well, I believe that's what happens when God pours out these Kairos times of His presence. It fills everything back up to the maximum. And we're in a time, see, we've been in a season where it seems like nothing's happening, nothing's advancing, you know, we're growing a little bit, no major outpouring. Because, see, we've had so many outpourings of the past. Day of Pentecost, right? Martin Luther's revival. Pastor Callan talked about several of them. You can go all the way through, you know, the Methodists, the Baptists, the Presbyterians, each of them different outpourings of God. How about Azusa Street? How many of that was refreshing of the power of God on the earth? Then the healing revivals. And now we're starting to go into the glory outpouring. Pastor Bob has been studying the histories of revival. He's been focusing on what's called the Second Great Awakening in the United States. How many have heard of the Second Great Awakening? It birthed the Disciples of Christ Church. Several other denominations came out of it. It took place, it started in, I believe, 1792 and advanced up for about 100 years, I guess, but primarily the early part of the 1800s. Does anybody know where that revival started? In Cane Ridge, Kentucky, about 5 miles out of Paris. Outside of Paris is Cane Ridge. And Pastor Bob wanted to go there while we were here, so we took an afternoon, went over there, and visited it, which is where I want to go here in just a little, I want to talk about just in a few minutes. But at Cane Ridge, a group of people rose up that said, "We just want to seek God. We just want to know God." And they sanctified themselves unto God to prayer and the Word and the preaching of the Word. And the Spirit of God was poured out. Miracles, signs, wonders. People filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues. We're talking about in the 1700s. And at Cane Ridge, out in the middle of nowhere, over 20,000 people were showing up to experience the outpouring. You've heard of the Shakers before? The Shakers tried to connect with it because they heard about the power of God being poured out. But the Shakers realized they weren't embracing celibacy, so they left it behind. They split from it. At Cane Ridge, the original building that, and I might have messed up some of the dates and some of the stuff, and somebody may have came from Boston, it was part of it, Reverend Stoner. The original building they built for it is still there. And they've built another big building over it in 1954, I think, or 57, built another building over the top of it to preserve the original log building. And you can actually go in and tour it. It's open every day. Has anyone else been through it? You've been through it? Oh, so you probably know the dates better than I do because you had the book. So did it start in Boston? The first one, okay. Okay, this was Pastor Stoner was with this one over here. Here's a plan I have. Probably in the winter, I want to start a series in here on the history of revival and what has taken place in the different revivals. Because if we're not aware of what's taking place in the past, we won't know what to expect in the future. Because we're going to be even beyond that. But there's been outpourings where multitudes have been healed. And we as a church, they tend to be somewhat oblivious to it. Then what I want to do is, after we talk through this series, have a service at Cane Ridge, because you can actually reserve the building to have church. Wouldn't that be fun? And bring the praise team over there, everything, and just have a blowout service. So I said in the winter, probably in the fall is what I'm looking at. So we shall see. The thing is there's been Kairos times in the past where God's poured himself out. And we've been at a time, I'm going to call it wilderness. 40 years of wilderness, there's not been any major outpouring in the church. We've had some stuff here in some southern. We've had Brownsville and Toronto, but that's not the outpouring. That was just God giving people a taste. We've been some time between. Now, back in the 60s, we had the charismatic awakening, and the hippies were getting saved and all of that. And there was some outpouring there, but I'm talking about a major outpouring. We've been a while. Maybe 70 years. 70 is kind of... But God is ready to release a Kairos-timed outpouring like the world has never seen. But it needs carriers. I was reading in Exodus the other day about Moses. And I read about Moses, you know, he grew up at Pharaoh's house, he killed the Egyptian, fled to the wilderness, was in the wilderness 40 years. And God showed up with a burning bush. And God said, I've heard the groanings of my people. And I've seen their affliction, and I'm going to set them free. Do you follow me on this? God says, I'm going to set them free. And he says, now, Moses, I need you to go and tell the Israelites I'm going to set them free. Then you're going to go before Pharaoh and tell him, I need you to set my people free. First, just to go 3 days in the wilderness, but he really intended for it to last on, right? To make sacrifice in the wilderness for 3 days. I need you to go and tell the Egyptians to set my people free. And I got to think, because when I read, I will pause and I'll think about what happened and why that happened like that. And here's my question. Why couldn't God just do a miracle where the Egyptians became so afraid of Israel, they just sent them out? Why did God need Moses to go tell them? Do you see what I'm talking about here? Moses is clear all this ways away. Why did he have to go? Why couldn't he just raise up Aaron to do it, or somebody else around to do it? Or why couldn't he give Pharaoh a dream and in the dream say, let my people go? Why did Moses have to go? Well, first of all, because God gave authority of the earth to man, and he always moves through men to make change in the earth. Do you follow me? But God had a specific person he wanted to release liberating power through. Had a person he wanted to use to change the earth. How many know Israel being set free changed the earth? We're here because of it. And God had Moses picked out saying, I'm going to use you, even though you think you can't speak, even though you got a family out here in the wilderness, even though you got sheep to take care of, even looks like things are comfortable for life. I need you to go back into a dangerous situation where they wanted to kill you. In fact, God told him, he said, everybody wanted you dead is already dead themselves. You follow me? They've all died out in 40 years. Go on back. God wanted to take Moses out of his comfortable life and put him in a position where people were going to hate him, mock him, want to kill him, but God was going to use him to change the earth. That's God's MO. That's what he wants to do with you. And you can argue with God and say, God, I'm not able. Oh God, who am I? God, you know, I've got these other things I'm doing. But if you really look down deep inside and determine, I want God's will in my life, you'll answer that call. He's going to say, make these changes. I'm going to use you to change the earth. See, sooner or later, we've got to get the revelation we're not called to ordinary life. Sooner or later, we've got to get the revelation that if we're going to go into greatness, we've got to let God transform us and put us in uncomfortable places. How much discomfort are you willing to go through to be in the will of God? I'm not trying to scare you out of it. I'm just telling you that God will call you to places that stretch you. Well, y'all quiet on me all of a sudden. See, one of my big ones was to get behind a pulpit. That was my biggest terror in life. But God said, do it. And when I did, there came the anointing. What are the things God's called you to do that you're afraid of and you're putting your heels in, digging your heels in with, right? You got to go past that. I know there's a grace for it. If God told you there's a grace for it, step out and watch God get on your team. All week, we spent the last, 10 days with Pastors Bob and Debbie Martin. Did you enjoy them last Sunday? They're hilarious. They've become really great friends for us. We spent 10 days with them. They stay at our house, have their own bedroom. And we harass each other. And my wife just loves to harass me. And if she can get somebody on her team, on her side to harass me, she's like, yeah, let's get him, you know. That's right. But Pastor Bob's wife, Debbie, loves, because they're really competitive anyway. Patty and I can't compete like they do because we'd get too angry. They're always playing games against each other. And I won, and trying to rub it in her face. I'm not doing that to Patty. No. I bit the tip off a chocolate dip cone one time and saw the fury of hell arise. I'm not going to harass her on purpose. Read the book. So, Bob will try to tease me, and then I'll tease him back, and then Debbie will jump in and tease as well on what I'm teasing about. And Bob has a saying, I'm going somewhere. He kept saying to her, Debbie, it's about time you got on Team Bob. You've never been on Team Bob. Get on Team Bob. In other words, help me against Pastor Jack. Don't team up with him. Because this is where most of the... Patty and Debbie don't harass each other. It's just Bob and I. And then they jump in. And you need to get on Team Bob. Well, I want you to know, if you will go after him, Jesus will be on your team. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Jesus will back your efforts to back him. And you can do what you think you couldn't do. You get to go where you thought you wouldn't get to go. And you'll manifest what you thought you couldn't manifest. God's looking for people that are sold out to whatever they need to do to advance. You follow me? Or we're in this Kairos times of the outpouring, of the times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Let's read on down. You're still in Acts chapter 3? Verse 20, and he shall send Jesus, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. The times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. The word times there is chronos. There are times of restitution. How many know when Moses brought Israel out of Egypt, that was a time of restitution? Right? Well, God's got a major time of restitution of all things. Everything the devil's held back by you, from you is going to be released. Every seed you've sown will be manifested 100-fold. At least I believe it. And it coincides with the times or kairos of refreshing. This last great outpouring will result in restitution of all things. There have been generations of the past that sowed. Some gave their lives. Many gave their lives, right? Sowed much, had much taken away. And, you know, you and your life have sown much. There's coming a day, every seed we've sown will manifest the harvest. And everything they've sown will manifest the harvest. But because we're the last day reapers, what they sow, their harvest will come to us. Because God really intends in the last days to spoil the kingdom of darkness. Listen, and bankrupt the devil. Have you watched all the crazy stuff going on in our nation right now politically? It's like every media outlet, except for one or two, every politician except a handful, all want Trump dead politically. We can't even get our own party behind him. You know why? Because he's threatened to drain the swamp. And it turns out in the swamp, everybody's got a little muck on their feet if they're not drenched in it. And they're afraid. Why? Because it will result in a restitution of authority to the people in this nation. It'll result in a dismantling of a system that has been unfair in this nation. Been ungodly. And the wicked are terrified. Democrat and Republican and independent alike. Do you see this? I believe what we're seeing politically in this nation right now is the beginning of the restitution of all things. We will pray and stand. I believe this man in office, as we said, could be a modern type of King Cyrus that will turn things right side up in this nation. Now, you can think he's Antichrist if you want to, but I'm convinced he is rattling the cages of the wicked in this nation. Amen? So don't believe all the garbage on TV they're trying to propagate. Look behind the scenes. We need to have Pastor Tom come here and tell us real soon some of the stuff he's been doing. He is dismantling the EPA and many other organizations. I forget which one that it is that he put the guy in charge, and they're virtually gutting it. Is it the EPA? They're gutting the EPA. Why? It's holding back industry. It's holding back progress. It's nothing but... Listen, I believe in environmental protection. I don't believe in wackoism controlling the future of the nation. But we're in a kairos time. We're at the beginning of this thing. Amen? We're seeing the birth pangs of it. Now listen, I don't like that the media is getting away with so many lies, if they are getting away with it. I don't like that they're attacking our president who wants to get stuff done. I don't like it. I don't like that we've not been able to get health care repeal. I just want repeal. Let the free market do its thing. I didn't mean to get political this morning. I don't like that he's not had tax reform. I don't like the wall money has not been fully released. You follow me? It looks like everything he's tried to do, in fact, they are declaring he's had zero legislation passed so far. And that's pretty much true. So what's he doing? He's working in the background to dismantle everything he can through his own power, because our other offices, because we do have three branches of government, the other two branches are blocking him. Particularly, the legislative branch is blocking him. So that's somewhat aggravating. What I'm talking about is, in the midst of radical Kairos shift, there will be things try to frustrate you. There'll be things try to get under your skin and, I can't believe we're doing it. Maybe he needs to leave just so we can have some peace. No. Don't bail out because it's uncomfortable. You don't stop doing what's right just because it makes you uneasy. You press through to victory. And get the scallywags, not just out of office, but in prison. I have a belief. I have no evidence of it. I've heard it, but I have no evidence. But I really believe, probably knowing President Trump in the background, where they're trying to attack him through the media, he's coming up with a case to put them all in prison. You follow me, new FBI director? I believe they're working behind the scenes to put evidence together now to press charges against the wicked. I've got to believe that. I hope that. Because it's not enough to get them out of office. Somebody needs to go to jail. I had no idea I was going to say any of that this morning. But it's part of the shift that's taking place worldwide. Look what's going on in Germany and England and France and all around. Belgium, major disruption. What's happening? Kairos times produce disarray. Think what happened when 8,000 people came in the church in 1 week. You read about it. People weren't getting fed. There were people angry, frustrated. They came to the apostles. We need somebody to take care of this. They had to appoint deacons. What were they doing? They were dealing with a Kairos adjustment because of the outpouring. So when you see the world in chaos, just say, thank you, Jesus. You're putting things in back order, getting us out of this demonically controlled world system. Don't get me started on globalism this morning. Are you still with me today? Romans chapter 13. You know, I really want to go back and get the messages if I get time and see what everybody preached. But it was interesting to me how everybody preached a different aspect of the same outpouring. Pastor Sherry preached on Kronos. Pastor Bob and Debbie preached on joy. That's what they did here last Sunday. What does joy have to do with it? Because I'm telling you, when things are totally in chaos, you will need to guard your joy. You know, Patty and I have somewhat of a running conflict in the house right now. 5 minutes of Fox News a day is enough for me. She wants to stay up on all of it, so she wants 5 hours. I got to tell her, either change the channel or I'm leaving the room. I'm not listening to strife anymore. It'd be okay to me if they just tell the news, but they have to put these panels up and they argue. I don't do strife. I used to live in that environment of, and I can't go there now. It messes with my peace. So as soon as you start debating, and you're debating with a known idiot, they put the guy there on purpose because he's an idiot. They know what he's saying is not true, but they get the debate going because a lot of people like that environment. I can't stand it. I'm going to keep my joy. Gene's all over that one now. She, Dale's back here going, but keep the peace in the house. I don't say, hey, either change or I'm leaving you. I just say, I'll leave the room. Glory to God. Romans 13, are you there? Let me get there. Verse 11. And that knowing the Kairos time, that now it is high time. The word high time means critical. High time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It is right now. Critical Kairos time. To snap out of, I'm not talking about that you have a spirit of slumber. I'm not talking about maybe you're sleepy all the time. I'm talking about we're asleep to the things of God, to what's taking place around us, to the opportunity, and what God's calling us to change. Can I give you an example and nobody gets mad? Several months back, I did a message about building your faith. And in the message, I said, we have confession cards in the back. If you want to build your faith intentionally, grab a card and take time every day to build that those promises into your life. And I said, if you do that in 6 months or whatever, your life will be changed. That promise will be embedded in you and you'll have some grasp of that promise. If you don't, you'll be the same as you were 6 months ago. However long. Now, I'm not asking, don't nobody raise their hands. How many did it? Here's the point I want to make. If you didn't make any change, then you're asleep to that word. Because God gave a word, here's an opportunity to be changed, to advance, to go into faith. How many did it? How many didn't? That determines, to some level, who's coming out of sleep. See, if you're doing the exact same things in church you did a year ago, doing everything the same, or even less, we're asleep. Well, this doesn't just apply to building your faith. It applies to what God told you to change personally that you haven't changed. See, the beginning, they say, I can preach about this because I made a change. I'm now almost 7 months without desserts, without any sugar itself. Now, there's sugar and ketchup and such, you know, I'm not worrying about that. But as far as not eating sugars, no caffeine and no sugar this year. And I'm down, as of this morning, I was down 23 pounds, 22. I did the 7-day fast last week, and I was actually down 5 more pounds. But I gained some of it back, which always happens off of fast. So God's been dealing with me for years about getting the weight off. You can go back and hear tapes. I've said years ago, I need to lose 50 pounds. And this year, I finally made the change. And I made the change. I'm saying this is for life. Now, if in a year I'm eating donuts, nobody judge me. I backslid. But I don't intend to. Haven't had a donut this year. God, I can't believe I just said that. I've tasted the ice cream just to taste the quality, but I just a lick. Because I found out, for one thing, I addict easily to sugar. And once I'm on it, I suck it down. I'm all in. I mean, I'll eat a box of chocolates in a day. And understand, I have in my house probably 100 pounds of M&Ms. And I can look at the machine and say, no, you're not talking to me. Amen. Where's the pistachios? So I've made some change. But there's other changes I'm working on making I haven't made yet, or I don't want to be asleep to the changes I need to make. And God's saying right now, because it's the beginning of this new Kairos time, be willing to totally shift your life. Shift it. I watched Patty do it. No, she's still eating chocolate. No, that's still there. But with the word. Years ago, I couldn't hardly get Patty in the Bible. She didn't want to study. She just said, I'll listen to the message, you know, or she'd read a little bit. But now she's in the Word all the time. And reading about the Word, she realized I need to make a shift without me badgering her. And now, because of the draw of God on her heart, she's made the shift to be in the Word a lot. What is it God's drawing on you to shift? Because the shifts determine our ability to go in to where God wants to take us. God may be saying, hey, I need you to be at prayer. I need you to be at church more services. Maybe he says, I need you to be on time. I need to do children's church. What's God telling you? And then be willing to wake up to it, because I'm not going to drag you. Neither's God. He's going to lay out opportunities. We decide what we move into. Having fun yet? But the results are the anointing, the refreshing of the Lord. See, I'm on that fast. I'm going, my goodness, shut up, flesh. You don't need to eat. Although it was one of the easiest fasts I've ever done. Coming out of it, this morning I get to step into the prophetic. I get to see things. Nancy, was that a confirmation to you? You told me it was, right? And I'm sure it was to several others of you. You get to move into these things of the kingdom. Gifts will come on your life. Open doors of opportunity. Remember the principle of the first step? God says, if you'll draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. He says, you take the first step. Well, it's a spiritual principle. If God will draw on you on something and you do it, then he matches you and then adds to it. You will never move towards God and not get more than you invested in moving toward him. Oh, Lord, should I say that? It just dropped in me. I didn't when thinking of this, don't have any notes or anything. God's dealt with some people to sow things or to increase their sowing. Hopefully tithe. And that determines going to the new place. Because what we do brings it to a new level. Kitty, you've made some changes lately, and God's seen it, and that's why you're seeing shifts in your life. Get ready, there's going to be a whole lot more of it. Just keep moving ahead. Refuse to go back into the old. Galatians chapter 6. You know, I've got a whole stack of verses here that we're probably going to go into tonight. So we're going to do part two tonight to this. Is this okay? Well, I don't go Sunday nights. Time for a shift. Stay where you're at if you want to. Verse 9. Well, let's back up. Verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, we always think of money. But it's what you give your life to. What are you sowing your life into? You'll reap that. If you sow it into God, you're going to reap times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. In other words, following the Spirit of God. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due kairos we shall reap if we faint not. God has got a kairos time for you to reap. A specific time as you stay faithful that God... See, God knows the times ahead of time. How many remember the stories that happened to you or you told your kids? As it got closer to Christmas, you tell your children, you better straighten up or Santa Claus won't come and see you. Amen. He's making a list and checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. You couldn't tell them that in June. You couldn't tell them that in September. Because the kids say, well, I'll straighten up then. I'll straighten up in December. It gets closer, right? I've heard about saying he'll adjust the list if you just act right in December. But about 2 weeks before Christmas, you can tell Johnny, either you act right or Santa won't come and see you. I don't recommend that kind of manipulation. I'm just saying you've heard about it. Do you follow me? Well, I want to tell you, God's got a Kairos time that's going to be better than Christmas ever was. That if we'll straighten up, we'll see blessings poured out like we've never thought possible. And as we get closer, listen to me, as we get closer to that time of outpouring, that due kairos, that due season, as we get closer to it, more and more God's going to be drawing on us to align our lives with what He needs to move into it. Do you follow me? So it's this is a time to quit making your own plans. And let God make your plans. It's time for you to quit making your own daily schedule and giving God some leftovers and start letting God make your schedule. Time to be aware of what you have in your hand, whether it's seed or not. When the church services are. You want God to speak into your life? Why would He speak into... I'm not addressing you. This will be for the sake of the video cameras. Why would God speak into the life of somebody who knows won't do anything He says? Now, you've already done a lot because you're here. But there's more He wants of us. There's more that's required of us than just going to church. There's internal change. There's change of actions, change of attitudes, change of reactions. Amen. Change in relationships. And the closer we get to that time, the more you're going to find God drawing you and even convict you and putting you even a heart to want to change. God will change your heart. As I've said before, I used to be addicted to fishing. I lived to fish. But God shifted my heart. I could care less if I ever fished again. My tackle is so old that they probably don't make the lures anymore that I have. I don't know. I opened one tackle box that's full of like plastic worms stuff. They all melted. It was so old. Just kind of turned to goo in the tackle box. Because I don't care, but God shifted my heart. Because the closer we get to what He wants to bring you into, the more He's going to draw you into it. And if you'll just cooperate, watch what God does. Look at the next verse. Verse number 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them of the household of faith. Who are the household of faith? Do you see as we have opportunity? That word opportunity is kairos. As we have a kairos open window, do what you need to do. You've heard the term strike while the iron's hot. I mean, the blacksmith, you know, he gets it heated to the right temperature when it's the right color, the right glow, whatever. Then he hits it with a hammer. No use hitting it until it's the right color. Because it's going to be too hard to work. Don't get it, too hot or it'll splatter. So while it's the right temperature, you hit it with a hammer to form what you want to form. Well, God's got us in a kairos time. The iron is hot. It's time for us to strike. Let me give you an example of striking while the iron's hot for us. I gave a call out, who can help Friday night serve at the Word Rally? And a bunch of you felt the draw, I can do that. And you jumped in. That was striking while the iron's hot. You didn't say, well, listen, I've got stuff I could do. You know, there's a movie I want to see. You know, you said, I will be used of God in that situation. letting God shift you from you running your life to the Spirit of God running it. Amen? As you have opportunity. Go over to Romans. Well, I'll tell you what. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, is he talking about somebody that's just in bed asleep? No, he's talking to somebody that's oblivious to what God wants them to do. Just going through life asleep to the things of the kingdom. He says, awake and arise. In fact, he says, arise from the dead. Now, it's interesting. This book of the Bible was not written to non-believers. It was written to believers. Right? This book was written to the church at Ephesus. And so, he's telling people that are saved, you're still somewhat in a dead situation. Not that they weren't going to heaven. But he's saying, if you're asleep to what God's trying to draw you into, you're dead to what he wants to pour out into your life. I want revival. So I've got to wake up to what God wants me to shift to move into that revival. As we all do. Right? So he says, awake. Verse 15. See then thou walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing, right? Proverbs. But wisdom is really the Spirit of God speaking into your life. To be led of the Spirit. God possesses all wisdom. So be wise, verse 16, redeeming the kairos, because the days are evil. Patty and I have a little bit of stock that we bought years ago for drilling oil in Israel. Zon oil. We bought it at about $5. It moved up to about $7 and it dropped down to about $1. They had several wells that didn't produce and they've never hit oil in Israel. People said there is no oil in Israel. And so it dropped down to about $1. And so our investment went 20% of what it was. But since then, it'll have a run. It'll have a run. It may jump up to several dollars. But within an hour or so, it's dropped down again. It'll have a spike, and people that are up front in the know that are watching it will buy and sell, and they'll make a bunch of money, and it's back down. We had that a couple weeks ago when Tim Strunk made his money back because he was watching it close. It jumped up to almost $7. And he sold at $6.50, made the money he'd invested in, he thought he had lost, it made it back, plus. But by the time I was looking, it had dropped down to about $5 again. I missed the Kairos time. I wasn't going to sell it at $7 anyway. I want to make a bunch of money off of it. I'm not into buying it, so I'm into watching it, letting it go up. I'm not that close to it, because if I try to do that and I'm not in the know, that's when you get bit. So, when the stocks do that, whatever the stock is, when it spikes, if you'll buy or sell at the right time, you took advantage of a Kairos time with that stock. Do you follow me? You redeemed that Kairos at the optimum point. Well, stock is one thing. A move of God is another. And I want to let you know this morning as we're getting ready to close that we're in a Kairos time that God's getting ready to pour some stuff out. That it's time to wake out of sleep and redeem the opportunity, the Kairos opportunity God's put before us by making the changes He's drawn us to make. So we're always looking for things we should be doing. Should we have this kind of outreach? Should we be doing this kind of program? Should we be doing this at church? Should we have this and that? And I'm telling you, if we'll all just change what the Spirit of God tells us to change internally, We will see outpouring like the world's never seen. Because God can get to us and get us to change the things about us. Everything else falls into place. And I want to be right in the middle of what God's doing. Have you got anything out of this morning? I want to pray for you. Under the influence of this prophetic, God's revealing stuff to people even now. There's stuff that, as I was teaching, some of you, if not many or all, have had stuff pricking at your heart. I know I need to change that. I need to fix that. I need to adjust that. What's that? That's God drawing you to get ready to redeem the time. Y'all get quiet again. So I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you've shown people during this message things they need to shift. And I think you're showing these even now, adjustments we need to make. I ask you, Lord God, to continue to draw us. Those have a heart to be in revival, to draw us, to not miss you in a single area of shifts we need to make. You said in Philippians, if we were anywhere otherwise minded, you'd reveal it to us. I thank you, Lord God, you do that now. Through the following days, weeks, months, you show us the shifts we can move into. And if we change one, you show us the next one. And you accelerate that change. And I thank you, Lord God, you give us grace to make the shifts. And I thank you for the outpouring on the other side of the shift. Fuse us together as a covenant body. Let no one be frustrated, condemned, beat up, or feeling that they can't do it. But give them a heart, Lord God. Supernaturally, give each of us a heart to know we can do whatever you've drawn us to do. Thank you for it. Thank you for peace, joy, and expectation in the church. In Jesus' name.